We thank the Lord for His goodness to us in ministries of music and scripture and just fellowship being together. He does visit us and stir us up to love and good works. And this morning, thinking about the Sermon on the Mount again by Jesus, the world's greatest preacher, preaching wonderful things we can't improve on. We just try to have our hearts be changed by His truth. And so thinking of the blessing He'd like to give when He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And it reminded me of a true story of a nurse supervisor who had a great reputation of training student nurses to be effective in their work. And she would spend time with them. And at the end of each week, she would ask them three questions that made an impact on their hearts. And maybe you could think of these questions in regards to your relationship with God. First, she would ask, "What was the most fulfilling part of your week? The most fulfilling part of your job?" And they would think of that and share that with her and take delight. And you might think of the most fulfilling part of your relationship with Christ, your walk with Him throughout this past week. What was it about Him that drew your heart to love Him more or serve Him better? Do that a lot. There's a reason why you were fulfilled in that manner. The second question she asked was this: "How can I help you do your job better?" Boy, wouldn't we all like to have bosses who ask us that question. How can I help you do your job better? And the Lord asks us that all the time. He wants us to know Him. He's available to come. And He invites us to serve with Him, not by ourselves. How can I help you do your job better? And then the last question, which really is a heart tugger. She said this: "What would you do over again if you had a chance to do it differently?" What would you do over again if you had a chance to do it differently? And think about that in reference to our walk with the Lord. This past week, hopefully we're talking with Him about these things all the time. What would I do differently following Jesus this past week if I had a chance to do it over again? I do have a chance to do it over again by the grace of God. And there is comfort in that right off the bat. So Jesus said this: "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." In other words, take the time to examine how we're doing with the Lord. What changes would He like to make in our lives? When we see the need, we're sad about them, but then He brings a blessing and He brings hope. "Blessed are those who recognize their sins," Jesus is saying, "and grieve deeply over them. They shall be comforted." And remember the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is showing us God's righteousness and our need for that righteousness. It's a real God-glorifying message that we would expect out of the Savior. God is good like this. He wants to bless. He wants to come and give His life in friendship and fellowship. And this is how you experience that. "Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted." It also shows our need for that goodness and that righteousness. And when Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn," I don't like the experience of mourning myself. It's heartbreaking. It involves energy emotionally. It involves tears inwardly or outwardly. And when Jesus used the word mourn, He used the strongest possible word for grieving or mourning that He could use. It would be the grief or loss of a loved one. That kind of grief or mourning that a person would feel. And He said, "Blessed are those who mourn," in reference to God. That kind of mourning. Because our sin causes loss of friendship with Him. We don't know His delight, His kindness when we turn away from Him. And blessed are those who mourn about that, said Jesus. They would be comforted. And we in our human nature don't like to mourn about our own sin. That's a very uncomfortable thing to do. Often we associate it with being too introspective. Or perhaps we would get tied up too much in our own guilt and fail to turn to Christ. Christ invites us to mourn in a healthy manner. We do other things with our sin then, instead of mourning. I wish Jesus would have said, "Blessed are those who are angry about their own sin. They'll be comforted." If I sense I'm turning away from God, or I fail to do something I know I should do, sin against the Lord, I hit myself in the head, get furious with myself. How dumb could I be? If Jesus would have said, blessed are those who are angry about their own sin, I'd be very comforted and very blessed. How many times I've done that? My blood pressure rises and not much else happens, unfortunately. Also, blessed are those who would be angry about other people's sin. Jesus doesn't say that. How common that is when we see evil around us or sin around us. Simply to be angry is no true sign of closeness with the Lord. You're in traffic and you cut in front of an atheist, he'll be furious. No sense of blessing from the Lord there. He's not mourning or sensing God's comfort. And so simple anger about sin is not a totally godly response to that. We're to be angry but not sin. And God in His Word, you know, He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, just don't make God mad today. But if you grieve God, there's a deeper relationship there, a tenderness there that Jesus is pointing us to. Blessed are those who mourn along with God. They shall be comforted. The other thing our human nature does, besides not mourning and getting angry, would be to excuse or minimize our sin. This is a very common thing in our human nature. I was reminded of Frank Sinatra, the singer, of years ago. Great voice, very popular. I used to enjoy hearing some of his songs on the radio. Most of the messages of his songs were kind of raunchy from a spiritual point of view. In one of his songs, entitled Best of All, I Did It My Way, he expresses an attitude toward mourning. He says this about his life. Regrets? I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. Too few to mention. Boy, I don't know if it can be the testimony of someone who is seeking God. Oh, I have no regrets about how things have gone in my life or me in Christ. Most of our response, standing before a holy God, is hopefully more like this. Regrets? We have many. Too few to count. Or too many to count, rather. And we mourn because we know sin grieves God. It breaks His heart. And I was taught at an early age, when we sin, Jesus cries. Jesus cries. The Scripture does bring a message of God's wrath that is real, but also God's grief because of the relationship that is hurt. If you ever had a child in your family or a child in the neighborhood who was neglected or something done against the child and the child cries, doesn't it break your heart? Because there's nothing worse than sin against that the little one, the innocent one, as it were. And when we sin against God, it is really sin against innocence Himself. That God, who is without sin, and we go against Him. How that affects Him deeply. And so it's to affect us deeply also. How did Jesus respond when He sensed people moving away from God and not having a heart toward Him? When Jesus looked at Jerusalem, for example, and as a whole, they would not welcome Him, particularly the leadership turning people away from Christ. He wept over Jerusalem. Jesus' response to the sin around Him was to grieve. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And in the Scripture, when the Lord repeats a name twice, it speaks of a tenderness desired there. You know, when you're just furious with a stranger, you don't say, oh, Jojo. You say that more to your children or to your brother and sister in Christ who you love. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to be close to you, but you would not. And the Lord says that to you and I as believers a lot of times. I don't know if He said that to you this past week or perhaps in your recent walk with Christ. Oh, He says your name. How much I wanted to be close to you, but you would not. And so we experience the Lord's grief we take that grief on ourselves, we taste it also. James would tell us that a sign of submitting to God, resisting evil and fleeing from evil, turning to God, would be to grieve, to mourn, and to wail. And again, in regards to our response to sin, I don't know about you. I don't know, for example, if the church in America is known for its grieving over sin. I think we know how to be angry about sin. We certainly do that. But genuine brokenheartedness about sin is more absent among us. And I know in my own life, for every one time I've genuinely cried about my own rebellion to God, I've probably been furious 100 times. You know. But Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. They'll be comforted. They'll be comforted. So James says, grieve and mourn. Submit to God. Joel says, God says to us through the prophet Joel, rend your hearts and not your garments. That's a strange phrase, but back in Joel's day and even in Jesus' day, when people turned to God, sometimes they just did that outwardly. There's a sign of repentance and put on sackcloth and put ashes on and roll in the dust and say, look, I'm turning to God. God said, don't just do the outward thing. The heart. Is your heart broken by grieving the Lord in some manner? And mourn, you'll be comforted, said Jesus. I remember that one of the earliest times of mourning and repentance in my life was in reference to family life in our home. Grew up with an older brother, younger brother. Younger brother was 5 years younger than I, so he was an easy target at times. And I remember one day, he was 5, I think it was. I was 10. He was just walking through our living room, minding his own business. And I thought, well, stick my foot out. Boom. Trips him. Goes head over heels, falls into our couch, bangs his nose up against the wooden part of our couch. And crying. And tears. And blood. And pain. And boy, initially my heart was, oh no, what a horrible thing. And how we often respond to sin, like I did. My dad saw it, thank the Lord. He said, you tripped your brother. And I said, well, I was just stretching, Dad. I was just stretching my feet. So quick to say, no, not me. And he said, I tried to cover my tracks. Well, it's not broken, right? It's not broken, right? I thought if the consequences were minimal, it would not be a problem, you see. But the more I thought about that particular day, I knew I broke my dad's heart, broke my brother's heart. Thankfully, did not break his nose. Broke my heart about that. And as many times as I kind of, you know, would tussle with my brother after that, one thing I never did, never tripped my brother again. Just brokenhearted about that. Sorry enough to change. I'll ask you and I a question. Have you ever felt toward Jesus like that? Oh, Lord, what I don't want to do is that would hurt you. God makes a frightening statement in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 6. He's speaking about the nation turning away from the Lord. And he says, no one says, what have I done? I don't know if that's a part of your prayer life on a regular basis. God said, it may be in a good manner. What have I done? What have I done? And it's an opportunity to know God's blessing. It's a rush not to rub our noses in the sin that we've done, but to say, I will be here to help and to comfort and restore. How the Lord does that. What have I done? There's a contemporary Christian singer. He cries out to the Lord. He says, I'm sorry for the person I became. The person we become without Christ is one who breaks God's heart. And he goes on to sing, who I am hates who I've been. And that hate, not just an anger thing, but again, a sadness thing. What have I done? Max Lucado makes a comment about the about Jesus preaching. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Lucado says, as long as your situation brings you no grief, you will receive no comfort. It's an opportunity to know God through our own failings and sins. And another thing we do in our church, not our church so much, but as the Lord would work on us, we say God's truth is unchanging and solid and lasts forever, and how true it is. And sometimes our own lack of repentance, we take that and we say, and therefore I will never change either. But God's unchanging truth always asks us to turn to Him more and more fervently. Mourning for our own sin, as the Holy Spirit would bring that about in a person's life. Painful, yes. Important, yes. Critical for our spiritual health, yes. And again, ask that God would bring that about in a walk that you have with Him, or that as believers have. Three ways to respond to Jesus' desire for blessing. One would be to ask God to give us a heart of flesh and remove the heart of stone. Without His intervention, we'll have a heart of stone. We won't care much about the sin around us until it bothers us. We won't care about much about our own sin until we start to face consequences and we know it bothers God even more. Lord, give us a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. That's a promise He makes twice to us in Ezekiel. Did you ever have a bruise on your hand? And you take care of that hand when you have a bruise on it. It's tender. It's not a hand of stone. It's a hand of flesh. And so you say, watch. You know, don't harm it in any manner, because there'll be great pain. And so to have a heart that's tender against sin like that. Oh, I don't want to be away from the Lord. I want to be close to Him, tender, and not calloused. God promises a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. That helps us mourn and know His comfort. The second thing, ask God to give you a broken heart about sin. Most people who have had relationships growing up in life have had their heart broken. Some of you have had your heart broken by your parents, or a brother and sister, or a brother and sister in Christ. And on it goes. But to say, Lord, have my heart be broken by what breaks your heart. When you know a loved one's heart is broken, don't you just grieve for them? And say, oh, I would feel like you would feel. And we tell the Lord about this blessing. Lord, I want to feel like you would feel about sin. Bob Pierce, who was an early leader in World Vision, said, Lord, let my heart be broken with things that break the heart of God. And how the Lord would move in and create ministry and closeness with Himself as we would do that. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, would save those who are crushed in spirit. Crushed in spirit about being apart from God. And the last thing, to receive God's joy and comfort when you mourn. Joel said the wonderful promise means a lot to me personally and to many others. The Lord says, I'll restore the years the locusts have eaten. And that passage in Joel is powerful. He says, the young locusts and the many locusts and the locusts. You know what the Lord says? I have sent. I have sent that the consequences of our own sin that we know hurt, the Lord sends for a purpose, so that we could say, oh, what have I done? I turn back to God. And what an opportunity to know Him again, to know His kindness that would lead us to a change, and to want that above all else. Jesus said, if one would turn to Him, it'd be rejoicing among the angels. Any broken heart that turns to God, the Lord brings a rejoicing, a welcome home, a restoration. You just some scriptural examples. Peter had the things restored that the locusts had eaten when he had denied Christ. And he was very loud and boisterous in his discipleship. He became, what, a great leader and servant in the church. And God used him in a mighty way. And he would do that for any one of us. You think of the woman at the well. Deep relationship problems, morality problems. She became one who took all her wanderings and put them toward Christ and became a single-hearted follower of his. She became a trophy of his grace as she mourned. And she was comforted by God. Paul the Apostle. At one time his testimony was simply this: I hate church. It wasn't. That was Paul's testimony. I hate the church. And some believers, because maybe they've had rough times with brothers and sisters in Christ. If I were to ask you, you're here for God, you're not here for anybody around you. But Paul's testimony, which was, I hate church, became, I love church. He became a great lover of people, great lover of Christ. God turned, restored the years the locusts had eaten off of Paul's life. And I've known people who were greedy and selfish become generous, loving, giving people. How wonderful. Billy Graham comments on the passage this way. Blessed would be those who mourn. They'll be comforted. He said, it won't be easy to bend your stubborn will, but once you do, it will be as though a misplaced vertebrae has been put back in place. Instead of a life of pain and tension in regards to Christ, there will be reconciliation and peace and a comfort and a joy in him. Remember, the word blessed means to experience God's delight. And for many of God's people, the delight of God and the comfort of God is only a sincere prayer of confession away. That I don't want to mourn over my sin, but because I know it breaks God's heart, we mourn and we meet him and we walk with him in a more reconciled, single-hearted manner. And my prayer is that only the gentle Holy Spirit, you know, who's going to grieve first about our sin? It'll be him. That we might take up his heart to follow after Christ and say, Lord, might the blessing be upon me and upon us as we say, we need your comfort, Lord, in regards to the sin problem that easily besets us. Might his gracious Holy Spirit do that work in our hearts on a regular basis so that we might receive the good word of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. Let's pray together as his people. Lord, thank you for all the blessings you came to pronounce when you preached the Sermon on the Mount. And this blessing we are very taken back by. To mourn, Father, about what you mourn about requires a change of heart. And Lord, give us a sensitivity to when we grieve you, that we would grieve also. And we would make proper returning to yourself and proper even restitution for the relationship. Not that the forgiveness of sins could be earned by sincerity of our brokenness, but rather the forgiveness and peace and the joy of Christ might be experienced again because you would welcome any sincere person back to yourself. I pray for believers, Father, we would gain a heart that mourns as much as we would be so we're angry with sin, we're angry with ourselves. And then we would know the comfort of yourself, the blessing of Christ, and the kindness of Jesus that would lead us to repentance. Be with each one here, Father, and might there be many coming home to you today, as it were, as we sing our last song. Bless each one with your care. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.